Hello, and welcome to Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, March 22nd, 2006. I'm Bill Brenner. This week, Microsoft investigates two new Internet Explorer flaws, a surveillance project exposes AV evading malware, and Paul Kurtz, Executive Director of the Cybersecurity Industry Alliance, talks to us about why private firms may not want to share threat intelligence with federal security agencies. But first, our top story. SANA Security Incorporated is warning of a highly evasive kernel-level rootkit associated with a data-stealing Trojan. The Trojan and rootkit, which remain hidden from the Operating System Task Manager and avoids AV detection, were discovered by the San Mateo, California-based enterprise security software provider's SANA Labs team during an investigation into the new AlcroWorm. As of Tuesday afternoon, only a handful of security companies had created a way to detect the worm, the company reported. Because of the low detection rate and rootkit-infected sites still online until shut down, almost 40,000 usernames and passwords have been stolen since last Thursday, when the AlcroWorm is believed to have been released. 40% of infections resulted from social networking websites. Another 10% came from travel sites, 9% from auction websites, and 8% from banking sites. The remainder involves sundry sites from a wide variety of categories. The best way to avoid this type of threat is layered security. Virtually none of the major signature companies can respond fast enough to these types of threats, the company said, adding that these types of threats illustrate the need for non-signature-based, behavior-based security software. Our next story is about two new flaws on Microsoft's patching agenda. The software giant is investigating reports of two new security holes in its much-attacked Internet Explorer web browser. Attackers could use these flaws to cause a denial of service or launch malicious code, and the researcher who discovered one of the flaws has written proof-of-concept exploit code. One flaw was discovered by vulnerability researcher Jeffrey Vanderstad. In a posting on his website, he said Microsoft had run its own tests and confirmed the flaw. He quoted a Microsoft security team member as saying, "The company is actively working on a fix that could be released during the next scheduled patching cycle on Tuesday, April 11th. Vanderstad has written proof-of-concept exploit code for the flaw, which revolves around the use of HTA files, HTML applications, that are given higher levels of trust and access to the local system than remote web pages are normally given. AV giant Symantec said attackers could exploit the flaw by putting a malicious HTA file on a website or in an email, then tricking the user into opening the file. The attacker could then launch malicious code. Symantec recommended users mitigate the threat by tightening user privileges and staying away from untrusted websites and links. The second flaw is caused by an array boundary error in the handling of HTML tags with multiple event handlers, according to Danish vulnerability clearinghouse Secunia. Attackers could exploit this to cause a denial of service. Secunia recommends users avoid untrusted websites to avoid this threat. Next, a surveillance project exposes more AV-evading malware. Mitchell Ashley, CTO and VP of Customer Experience for Superior Colorado-based software firm StillSecure, said his company's Endpoint Security Index shows that security-hardened computers can still be infected with certain types of malware. The company found that many kinds of attacks can bypass traditional security measures and live on the endpoint, hidden from antivirus. In some instances, the AV program might not clean up all the malware, and remnants of malicious files that can do more damage are left behind. The index, now in its fourth month, monitors four different endpoints using machines running Windows XP Service Pack 2. Ashley said well-defined security policies are applied to each endpoint. Then, using an automated process, the machines visit tens of thousands of URLs a month, opening themselves up to any sinister code lurking on these sites. Ashley said the ultimate goal is to measure the strength of different security policies and tools so endpoint devices can be more successfully locked down. Finally, this week's Security Spotlight focuses on flunking grades for federal security agencies. The latest scorecard flunking key national security agencies doesn't bode well for companies willing to share security data with the Department of Homeland Security or other government agencies. The dismal report card came from the House Government Reform Committee, which gave the federal government an overall grade of D+ for its security efforts. The Department of Homeland Security actually got an F for poor configuration management, inadequate certification and accreditation, and deficient annual testing of systems. Joining us to talk about the report card and what it means for the private sector's security efforts is Paul Kurtz, Executive Director of the Cybersecurity Industry Alliance. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Paul, in your view, are these grades fair?
Quantifying and measuring something like cybersecurity is always a difficult thing to do, but it's very important to establish some kind of benchmarking and accountability or some sort of metric, even though they may be imperfect. FISMA, the Federal Information Security Management Act, and the committee's report card are the best tools we have right now to measure security across federal agencies, including DHS, and whether DHS really deserved an F or should have gotten a D- is really beside the point. Clearly, there is a lot of work to do, particularly given how critical their mission is and the fact that they are supposed to be setting an example for the rest of the federal government. I would note that security is not only a problem in the federal government, but it's also a problem in the private sector, and quantifying how we're doing in the private sector, too, is quite difficult. In this context, I would note for the first time ever, a good thing about the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice, they are initiating a survey this year to, if you will, measure the cost of cyber attacks, of which we hope the data will be available late this year. So we all have work to do.
So in your mind, do you think that DHS is trying to move in the right direction? Obviously, they would disagree with this grade talk about progress it has made. What would you make of their efforts?
I would say that they are definitely seeking to go in the right direction. If we go back, the General Accounting Office reported in last June that DHS had not fully implemented a comprehensive department-wide information security program to protect the information and information systems that support its operations and assets. They cited, as you referenced in your opening remarks, incomplete risk assessments, inadequate testing and evaluation of security controls, holes in remedial action plans, and continuity of operations plans, as well as an accurate inventory of their systems. That's a very hefty to-do list. And one has to remember, when you look at the Department of Homeland Security, it was brought together 22 to 23 agencies to work together on Homeland Security issues. So that means you have 22 or 23 different sets of systems with different cultures, different security controls, different access controls that all have to be integrated. Should this job have been done much earlier? Yes, but nonetheless, it's a very complex task for the CIO at the Department of Homeland Security to address.
Now, do you worry that private companies are going to be less willing to share any of their cybersecurity intelligence with the government in light of these grades?
I think your question kind of answers itself. Clearly, the private sector is not going to be in a hurry to share sensitive information with the federal government if companies feel that doing so presents an unacceptable risk. On the plus side, we should note, though, that seven separate agencies receive grades of A- or above, so we know that agencies can work on securing their information systems. The downside, in this case, from the report card we've seen from the government the Government Reform Committee is that it seems that the more vital the agency's mission to national security, the lower the grade tends to be in complying with the Federal Information Security Management Act. So clearly, in a homeland security context, in a national security context, we're going to be supplying this information into these agencies. And until there's a better understanding of the security of what will be afforded to information to be provided, you're going to see the private sector hesitate for some time.
Again, Paul Kurtz from the Cybersecurity Industry Alliance. Paul, thanks for joining us on Security Wire Weekly.
Thank you.
And that's Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. Don't forget to read our news each day as it breaks at searchsecurity.com/news, where you can sign up for our daily email newsletter or our RSS feed. Thanks for joining.